Welcome back, everybody, to the Stark Wars podcast, where we talk all things Marvel, Star Wars, and everything in between. Please take a moment to check our show notes to find our social media, merch, and more. Today, we are recapping Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves in full spoiler detail. So if you haven't seen the movie, I would get out of here. And I'm here with a guy that rolls dice and puts on elf ears. I'm trying to be D&D today, guys, but the real expert here is our good buddy Tommy. Tommy, how are you?
I'm doing good, but Michael, I have the most wild story today. Just it went crazy. I was out to try to get something before the podcast, and then, but I do have that. Is Jonathan here? I really need. He's really great at listening to stories, and I think he would really enjoy this story in particular, Michael. Before I start telling it, but I don't think he's going to show up.
Yeah. No, that was really good. I love Jonathan. So we do have a great guest here, welcoming back. I guess the last time that she was on the trivia. Is that right? Or has she been on since? I don't know.
It might be the trivia.
Yeah, it's one half of the Nathan for Us podcast. It is KW. How's it going?
Hey guys. Yes, actually, I did have someone who was wearing elf ears in my screening. And I was like, okay, wow, these are some serious D&D people.
Mm-hmm. I went to a D&D Honor Among Thieves event, like hyping it up. I got a nice mug, and there were like people dressed up with like green paint on them. And I'm like, I'm just here in a t-shirt. I'm not going to dress up for these kind of events, guys.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm a fake fan.
It's not like I haven't done that for like a Marvel movie or anything.
No, I love that for them. I'm like, everyone should dress up for everything. I'm going to dress up for the Barbie movie.
Let's go.
So like, catch me in all pink and then going to see Oppenheimer right after.
See, I feel like I like dressing up for movies, but I have to not prepare for it. I like doing it like 30 minutes before. Guardians, me and my friend were like, let's quickly have costumes. And he just took a bunch of branches and duct taped them on his arms to be Groot. And I took a furry tail and a little bear mask and put it on to be Rocket Raccoon.
You got way better costume than that.
Yeah.
Mixed on your arms? That sounds horrible.
Uncomfortable. He had leaves taped to his head as well.
But sounds hazardous. Yeah,
I'm surprised the movie theater let him do it.
Yeah. But Dungeons and Dragons, guys, I gotta say, you know, as probably like the least, involved in D&D of the three of us, I came in with very, you know, moderate expectations. I really expected nothing from this movie. And I think it was a really fun time. Like I just sat down, I got a beer at the theater and a big thing of popcorn. And it was just like, it was just a relaxing, like nothing too controversial. Like just here. And here's the thing, like maybe I want to get you guys' takes on this because I don't personally think this movie is funny. I think it's amusing. I don't know that I laughed out loud at any point, but the entire time I was like, oh, that's cute. Ah, you know, and like, you know, I couldn't ask for anything more. It just, I don't know. It was a joyful experience.
I think I'd agree with that. I feel like it's one of those movies where you're not going to necessarily be, you know, chuckling very loudly in your seat, but you might expel air, you know, at an aggressive rate through your nose, which is definitely what I was doing at a lot of the scenes.
Blow out air aggressively.
Yeah. You know, one of those, like,
yeah. No. Like, just, yeah, no, I do know that feeling. Yeah, I think I'm on the same boat with a little bit. Like, I do think it was funny at times. I was laughing, but I do agree with you. I think it channeled the humor of D&D, at least. Like, whenever I'm playing or running a session, it is not Lord of the Rings. And so I appreciate that this movie went the route of, let's play into the fact that D&D is usually just a million plans going wrong, always being, and then the most wild plan is probably the plan you go with, and it somehow works out. So I really enjoyed this movie as a D&D fan. I loved how many references, how many like different properties of D&D, even like the rules. There's some that maybe we'll talk about, like wild shape does not work that way. Get my glasses. Well, actually, wild shape you can only do twice before a long rest. But regardless of that. Other things they did keep true, like concentration and even the attuning to the magic items, I thought was very clever how they fit that stuff in there. Even like spell rules, like the speak to dead, how they're like, you can only, you know, what was it, five questions, and they were like, why is that? And everyone's like, yeah, we don't know either. They just make us do it in the D&D.
I think the best part about this, and this is coming again from the guy that is not like active in D&D stuff, it seemed to like really respect its origins, right? Where like, I feel like it would have been really easy for this movie to make fun of D&D or have like cheap jokes, you know? There was no dice rolling in this, you know? Like, I feel like there was a path where they could have been kind of disrespectful to what D&D is and the heart of D&D. And like, they went the opposite direction and it felt very special. From an outsider's perspective.
Yeah, I definitely feel like it was very fun as someone who is into D&D a little bit, definitely not as much as Tommy. But I, you know, I dabble. I'll roll a couple dice when I need to. I did feel like you could also tell at certain points when they were playing into like, okay, the DM's getting annoyed with this group right now and they're just gonna like throw you a character to help out.
Yeah, we'll talk about, but there is definitely that part where I'm like, and I should have picked up on it before the movie that this character is going to be that. But, like, yeah, the Paladin definitely felt like the NPC of, like, okay, they are not figuring out what this quest is. We need to throw someone in there to guide them along and basically point them at the object and be like, go get that right there.
Yeah, it was very well done. Very well done.
Yeah. Well, if that's our takes, I think we're all pretty high. But, like, we probably have some nits to pick as well. Like I said, my already wild shape. I'll say it one more time. That's not how wild shape works. You also can't turn into an owlbear. That's a monster. Duh. Everybody knows that, right, Michael?
Stupid idiots.
Michael was seething in his seat when that happened. He was like, that can't happen.
The owlbear was awesome. I'm team owlbear. Break the rules for the owlbear all day.
Well, and that's actually a good point. My thought going into the movie was, rule of cool. If it's cool enough, I do not care. And I feel like multiple times I was letting myself like accept what was ever happening because it was just very exciting. But let's dive in. We're going to do this character by character. Just kind of giving our thoughts on the character. Any scenes that we thought were really stood out with said character. And let's just start in the order they were introduced. So we'll start with our main guy. And I am curious, Michael, did you know everyone's classes? They kind of spelled them out to a T, but you know what our guy Edgin is, right? Edgin Darvis.
He had the a bard, right? And they play music. And that's all I knew about bards, so that was enough for me. And that's kind of how like all of this went, you know, like I don't know that I could Michelle Rodriguez's character. I don't know that I could tell you what her like class is or whatever, but I don't think I really needed to either. So
no. And I actually think like we talked about this a little bit right before of one of the things I think this movie did very smart is as much as they really loaded us with lore and a lot of D&D, I actually thought I'm of two minds. I'm both annoyed by it. And I also think it was smart that they made these classes very, each one gets one cool thing. And, you know, the bard's an example. Bard does magic. It really annoyed me that he just hit people with a loop. But I do understand the thought process, which is don't confuse your audience. Sorcerers do the magic. Bards are your talkers, your planners, the ones doing your smooth talking type thing. So, yeah, we have our bard with Chris Pine. Any thoughts? What do you guys think? Do you think he nailed the bard charisma that we usually look for in the bard?
Oh my gosh. I was obsessed with Chris Pine in this movie. I thought he was absolutely perfect for this role. And I think that he really hit the mark of being just funny enough while also really pulling at the heartstrings with, you know, some of the stuff with his daughter. I also read that the original casting was going to be Ansel Elgort. I don't know if that's true, but I would not be sitting here talking about this movie if that was the case, because that man is like milk toast. I cannot handle watching him on screen. I think he's so boring. Sorry for Ansel Elgort catching strays right now. He's not even in it, but the comparison like to Chris Pine, like amazing casting.
I'm looking at Chris Pine's credits on IMDb. I'm realizing I have seen very little of his movies, but from the ones I have seen, I think this is my favorite movie of his. I thought he did a really great job. And you know, like, I'm kind of like comparing to like Wonder Woman, where like I thought like he was nothing to me in that movie. And I didn't see Don't Worry, Darling. I thought he did great. I really loved him here.
Are you going to become a pine cone now? I can give you some recs if you'd like to join our rank.
I'll be honest. I'm just going through. I think there's a reason I haven't seen a lot of these movies. Like, I don't know. That,
The Princess Diaries 2 Royal Engagement is right up your alley.
That's what I was going to put out. How dare you, Michael? You're not a Princess Diary fan?
Yeah. You know, I've seen the Star Trek movies, but like, I'm not watching A Wrinkle in Time. It's just not going to happen.
Michael.
But no, he's great. He's great.
Yeah, he was really good. I do think he, you know, I don't want to also talk besmirch Ansel, but I don't think he would have held up to Chris Pratt. You needed someone like him. You needed that almost like elderly, not elderly, but like fatherly figure in your party, I guess.
We needed a daddy. We needed a daddy and we got one.
Your D&D daddy, and we needed that in this movie. And yeah, I think he did a really good job. I thought this movie tried to do a lot, and I think one of my gripes is like, but it's so hard. I keep saying like gripes, and then I keep counting myself because I think that's one of the things is like, at the same time, I do think there was a lot of different adventures, and we could have focused on just the Thay problem, and we were just like, oh, let's go fight a dragon, let's go do this, let's go do that. At the same time, I have myself counting myself because that is D&D, where D&D is like, let's go do this, but we have to do 20 different steps just to do that one thing that have nothing to do with each other, but it just don't worry about it. Just follow the path in front of you.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I feel like it was chaotic. Like, if you're someone who's looking for a movie that has a very straightforward plot, like, this is just not going to be for you, and D&D also might not be for you.
You know, and I will say, like, they did a really good job of, like, allowing a casual fan like myself to really immerse myself in this world. With that being said, it kind of got to a point in the movie where they were throwing so much out. Like, it's like, here's an artifact, here's a spell, here's a race, and, like, I'm just like, I feel like I would have way more context on this stuff, but like, I'm just going through it at a certain point. So it did get a little overwhelming at a time where I'm like, I don't know that I can keep up with like all the world building going on here. It's a lot, which I guess I'd rather have more than less.
Yeah, I will say it was weird where it's like, at times they explain stuff, of course, but then other times they just said stuff and you just need to be like, okay. Like, for example, Chris Pine is a member of the Harpers, which is a organization in the Forbidden Realm, which is where this is all kind of set in. And the Harpers are kind of known as like a semi-secret organization of people that the job is to keep the natural order of things and specifically keep lore and keep the history of the world. They're kind of, you know, above the law in the sense of like they do their own thing. Everything's for the sake of keeping this lore, keeping the history, keeping the items like we see in their vault. But I don't think they really explain it fully. It's just like, you know, it's an organization that does good in the realm.
Hey, you know, he did actually, I think there was one part that I laughed out loud, and it was the point when they were doing like the projection spell and he comes in playing and he like starts melting. That was cute. I liked that. I think that was a loud nose breath there.
It was very good. I also feel like we would be remiss to not talk about the escape scene at the beginning with our friend Jornathan.
Jornathan, I love
the bird.
I love that it's spelled, yeah, because that is a typical D&D. You just take a normal name and switch like one letter out, and you're like, all right, that sounds fantasy enough.
Yeah, Game of Thrones does that too.
Oh, yeah. I was, I don't know what I was expecting when they kept saying we need to wait for Jornathan to come in for this interrogation, but it certainly was not a giant bird that they were going to tackle out the window.
I was like, it has to be like his friend that's going to vouch for him or something. I did not. Yeah. And that's what's great about this movie. Just like the absolute left turns that they take. I just did not see that coming.
Yeah, I thought it was the Paladin because I didn't know anything about this movie. I didn't know when they were going to introduce people. So I was like, oh, the Paladin must be part of the council and is like their one friend that gets them out of this situation. And then, yeah, when this giant, it's an air carca in the D&D, but and when the bird folk shows up, I was like, oh, okay, where is this going now? And I still didn't put it together that they're going to try to crash out the window.
I want to say, I'm fairly confident that this costume that he had was practical. And that's one thing that I tracked throughout a lot. I mean, there's a lot of CGI in this, but there's also a lot of practical makeup. And that really helped the immersion into the world for me. I thought all the effects, visual and practical, were great.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, too, like when it looked silly, you could tell it looked silly on purpose, which always helps in a movie like this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like one of the scenes that really tickled me was the tabaxi woman with her baby. And like another one where it's like, I might've been practical or at least parts of it, but it's like, it kind of worked that they're these animal humanoids. They're going to look goofy no matter what. So I almost like that they kind of played into it a little bit with these characters. Anything else with Chris Pine as Edgin?
Yeah, what do we think? Chaotic neutral, chaotic evil even. He's kind of in between to me.
Yeah, I feel like he changes by the end of the movie. I feel like he becomes some sort of good, but I feel like he's mostly chaotic neutral in the beginning. He has a mission, but it's a selfish mission. You could say it's not bad trying to get his wife back, but it's definitely a very selfish view.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like his was the most like easy to suss out, other than of course our Paladin, who we'll get to in a bit.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, I had to Google the chart here of what you guys are talking about. I've never really I guess it's as simple as what it sounds like, but I don't know. I feel like I had something to say on that, but it's gone.
Yeah, there's like tons of guides to tell you about alignment and what each one means. I believe, off the top of my head, I believe chaotic neutral is basically most humans. Like, most of us are chaotic neutral, which is or lawful neutral or some sense of that, where it's basically like we follow some sort of laws. We follow the laws, but we also are self-interested, which is most humans. We will do what we can to kind of tweak the rules and regulations so that we can get ahead over the other person.
I think I'm chaotic good.
I think I'm neutral. Neutral. Or like chaotic. Yeah. Do you think, like, can you be like an easy chaotic evil? Like, I'm chaotic evil, but
like chaotic evil?
Yeah, like I sometimes tie people's shoes together to watch them trip and fall.
Oh yeah, see, I'm a big like prankster as well. So I might have some of that in me as well. If that's all, like, I guess, like, I'm thinking, like, so I pulled up the chart and actually it's the characters from the Batman universe and they're assigned to their little slots. And Chaotic Evil is the Joker in this instance. And I'm like, I don't know that I'm like blowing up hospitals, but. I do like pranks, so
that's kind of a prank in a way.
Stop.
Sorry. Bringing a dark energy to the podcast today.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to say on Chris Pratt. Like I said, he's great. I think I have more to say on some of the other characters, but he was a good leading man.
He's our leader. He gets us to where we need to go. He keeps the plot going. I think in transitioning to the next character, one of the things I loved most about him was his relationship with Holga, who we'll talk about next, played by Michelle Rodriguez. I thought she did an incredible job. She actually was probably my surprise sleeper favorite. Like, her humor worked so well for me. Right in the beginning, the first scene we see, even in the prison, where it's like she's eating her potato and he's like, dude, don't mess with her. Like, you don't want to. And just the idea of partnering the bard and the barbarian together worked so well when she's fighting and he's giving the bardic inspiration, being like, you're doing great. Keep it up.
Yeah, I loved their banter. I feel like they had really, really good, like, platonic chemistry, which is always fun in a movie when you have, you know, two characters and they don't need to be romantically paired together, even if they're going to raise a child.
Yeah, no, she, you know, Michelle Rodriguez, kind of the same roles and almost everything. So again, I came in not expecting a Michelle Rodriguez role. I got a Michelle Rodriguez role, but I think it's just, you know, the context of it actually being a pretty good movie helped out a lot too. So I really like the platonic friendship that they have as, like, you know, parents to Kira, I think her name was. And and the ultimate turn at the end when they use the tablet to bring her back. I thought that was a really touching moment.
Did you think she was dead for real at all, Michael? Were you scared? Were you getting ready to cry?
Well, I actually, again, like, I'm watching this, like, I've never seen a movie before. And, like, I was like, oh, this is sad. Someone had to die. And then I'm sitting there with Sydney, and she hits my shoulder. He's like, they're going to bring her back. And I'm like, oh, you spoiled it. Of course they are.
Yeah, I knew they were going to bring her back, and I was still getting, like, a little teary-eyed.
Me and Rebecca was like, well, but what about the wife? I feel bad for the wife. I'm like, no, I think they're trying to tell us that it's okay. She already has another life in the afterlife. It's okay. Bring back the lady that just went out like 2 seconds ago. She hasn't had time to make another life in the afterlife yet. That was my explanation for it.
Well, also, it's going back to Chris Pine's character. This is kind of like his whole arc, right? Like, he's kind of built up to have this selfish motivation, and he's only doing this for himself. And then, like, that is the growth shown at the end, where he says, "Okay, this isn't about me. I'm doing this for Kira and my friend."
Yeah, and I think it also, like, to your guys' point about platonic raising a kid, but also, like, that you could be a mother without being in a relationship with the father. It's like, she was the mother to Kira, and like, no one can tell you otherwise. Yeah, I thought her story was really well. She did have a little romance, though. We got...
Oh, my God.
What a weird, weird cameo.
Absolute jump scare for me when he came. When I saw that, I was like... I was rattled.
Yeah, Marlaman is her ex-husband, played by the one and only Bradley Cooper, who had this on their bingo card.
I loved this. Like, not certainly not negative jump scare. Like, I was happy to see Bradley Cooper. I'm always happy when Bradley Cooper pops up in any movie. But yeah, that was very surprising. To be honest, I thought that Joe Manganiello was going to have a cameo in this movie for sure, because he's, like, famously a huge D&D fan, and I was so surprised when he did not show up.
Yeah, I actually thought we'd get a lot of celeb cameos from him. There's a lot of, like, underground celebrity D&D games happening out there, and I thought Joe for sure. But yeah, Bradley Cooper was not one of them, playing a halfling.
with a thing for the barbarians.
Yeah, really likes his taller women over there, Bradley. And doesn't even know how to use a walking stick. That isn't actually a walking stick, but is a magical item, right? You dummy.
He didn't roll perception.
Idiot.
Well, I love seeing him here, and he did introduce us to the coolest element in this entire movie for me, which was the portal staff. I thought this was such a cool concept. Yeah, seeing Bradley Cooper is weird. I didn't even know, like, I guess that's, like, again, like, I didn't even know that that was, like, what did you call it? What is his, who is, why is he small?
Yeah, he is a halfling, which is a race in D&D. Yeah, it's like the small folk, like your hobbits, essentially, from Lord of the Rings.
I was afraid to, like, use the wrong nerd term there. Like, I might offend, you know, like, I don't want to
be up in arms.
Is he a hobbit? I don't, like, is that offensive to call him that?
Listen, if I've learned anything from my TikToks over at Two Dudes Watch Cartoons, D&D fans can be really mean if you get stuff wrong. They're real scary sometimes.
Oh my god.
We host a Star Wars podcast.
I was gonna say,
we're well aware of hateful fandoms.
Yeah. But yeah, no, D&D fans, they love their stuff. But yeah, I think Holgo was a great character. I think she did, again, I think with all these characters, they are tropes, right? The fighter, the smooth talker. And I think they did a good job of giving her humor that worked, giving her a little bit. And with all these characters, had like mini arcs. And that's all you really needed, was a little bit of like a mini character arc. Hers was getting over her ex and realizing what there's value in her. I also liked that she kept picking up better weapons, because that's the whole thing in D&D of like, oh, you yeah. constantly are upgrading your weapons, and she just kept killing people, stealing their weapons left and right.
Yeah, and I feel like you always need that one person in a D&D campaign who just like wants to fight everything, and like she was just the embodiment of that for me.
She had that really cool axe, and then like what happened, it like got lava on it or whatever, and then I was like, how, I don't think that's better now.
Yeah, she was like, this is so much cooler. I'm like, it looks like it's not gonna be able to cut anyone.
Yeah. Yeah, but sometimes like you just need it to look cool, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair.
Aesthetic over practicality. That's why yeah. I have a much like one of my characters has a cloak of many fashions that does nothing but changes into whatever color code I want it to.
Yep.
It's important. People really overlook that in D&D. It's like, no, sometimes you just need to look cool.
Yep. Mm. Do we want to briefly talk about Kira, played by Chloe Coleman? Which, okay, I saw this and I thought this was so sweet. Dave Bautista, we know as a guy who plays Drax, and is a actor. He acted in a movie with her, I guess, when she was younger. And I believe, if I get this right, he like had a private screening of the movie with their entire cast supporting her, which I thought was so nice that Dave Bautista did that.
That's
my
very
spy.
Sweet.
Here I am. I'm on IMDb again. my spy. Yeah. No. I honestly, I have nothing to say about this character. I don't know.
I have bad things to say.
Oh, okay. Let's see. I can't wait for you to bash this child, please.
Oh my god! Yeah.
When you set it up like that, Michael.
Yeah, no. Tommy's about to rip a 15-year-old.
All right, listen here, you little girl. No. I don't blame her. I blame the writing. This is the one spot where I was like, you really had to like, she believes Forge and never questioned that these items might be different. And then when I understand when Chris Pine is telling you that like you're being lied to, but when Holga is also like, yo, like trust us, it's 2-on-1, and she's still believing Forge over this. That was the little bit where I was like, all right, I get it. We need her to not believe for the plot, but man, come on, Kira, you could do, you should have figured this out. Like, I would have liked to know that she figured it out sooner and was like planning some stuff on the side. But as classes go, I think she's going to be our future rogue. I'm planning my scene. Ooh. I think she's our future rogue. We don't have one yet. She was doing the invisibility thing, sneaking around. That's my pick.
That's what I was going to say, is I hope in the sequel she has a lot more to do. I'd like to see her be a part of the team and kick ass as a little kid.
Yeah, she was definitely just like a plot device, which is fine. But yeah, the writing did not do her any favors whatsoever.
Yeah, and just like how they wrote her, we'll move right along as well. And move right to Forge, played by Hugh Grant. I think also a bard, again, they didn't really classify, but I would imagine he was a con man, a con artist.
It says on Wikipedia, it says he's a rogue.
Oh.
Yes, but I don't know where they get their information from.
He's sneaky, I guess.
Yeah.
What do we think of Hugh Grant's performance here as the side antagonist, one of the bad people, I guess?
Love
okay.
him.
Okay, my MVP is actually Hugh Grant during the press tour for this movie, because he was so funny doing press for this. Like, I don't know if he just like didn't care or like what he's been up to. This man's in his villain era ever since Paddington 2, and I'm very into that for him. Thought his performance was kind of like, it was evil Hugh Grant, which is like great. Like, I'm always go see a movie where Hugh Grant's being the villain.
Yeah, it was Hugh Grant doing what Hugh Grant does best, which is to chew the scenery, you know, really was electric on screen. But I do want to talk about the press tour because, man, someone could be more uninterested on the project he just worked on, could care less about D&D, was asked multiple questions, did not. Everyone else was like, yeah, we got into D&D. We're all actually still playing together, Hugh Grant. It's a movie. Amazing. I did this. I got paid. That is Hugh Grant's whole attitude on this movie.
Incredible. Like, I strive to be this uninterested as Hugh Grant was when he was talking about this movie. He also randomly talked about, like, bondage during one thing. Like, he was just, like, on one the whole time. I was getting fed so many TikTok clips because I couldn't stop interacting with them.
It was basically like an entire tour of his one Oscar interview that he got roasted for, where he was like very uninterested at the Oscars. It's basically that, but the entire movie that he was trying to promote.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the Oscars interview was very funny, but I don't know. No. I was like, he's just British. You guys are like ripping this man. He's just British. That's all.
I'm like frantically Googling because this is not on my radar. I think I'm going to have to do some interview watching because it sounds great.
Honestly, the whole press tour is very funny because it was like the Justice and Sophia were like a duo that were just like laughing at the whole everything happening around them. And I think they're actual D&D fans. And then Chris Pine, I think, got into D&D, but it also he's kind of like, I feel like there's ranges. It's like, Chris Pine is in the middle of like a Hugh Grant where it's like he's interested just enough, but you can still tell this is just a job for him. But man, no one can beat Hugh Grant's uninterestedness.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I felt like he was having so much fun. Like, that was my takeaway from the character is like he's just doing the damn thing out there. And I don't know. I hope the interviews I watch later will be funny, at least, because that kind of makes me sad.
It's funny.
Yeah, it's done funny. In a funny way. Uninterested in like you young kids with your TikTok and your Twitter. That's kind of how I read them. It's a little bit more on the side of like he just doesn't have the time to understand this whole concept.
Gotcha.
It's just like the evolution of him being like a hunky, I'm going to be in all these rom-coms to now to like vaguely doing Mamma Mia that one time and everyone making fun of his singing. And then now he's just like, solely does villains is so good.
Yeah, here for it.
Yeah, but yeah, in this movie I really liked him. I thought the plot with him, I like having him being used as a pawn by the Thay Red Wizards was good. I think the best compliment I can give him is like the whole movie I just hated him. Like I wanted him to get his comeuppance because he's that kind of villain that I would hate in real life of like it's so clear you're lying here. And the fact that you're getting away with this is infuriating me that you're still getting away with all of this stuff and that our people are suffering because of you and you don't even care.
So gaslighty.
Yeah. He had big gaslight energy.
Okay, you guys. I'm sorry. This is something I really have to bring up because I just jumped on Hugh Grant's IMDb for a second. First of all, I was wrong. He's not in Mamma Mia. I don't know why I like trauma inserted him into that movie. But
makes sense. I didn't question it.
Yeah. He has an upcoming film called Unfrosted, The Pop-Tart Story, which is directed, co-written, co-produced, and starring Jerry Seinfeld.
You know, there's like the Tetris movie recently and like the Fountain,
are we at the time where we're just making origin stories about products that exist in the world? Like we'll get our Furbies movie next. We'll get like, I don't know, like yeah. This is wild.
I'm rattled. The cast is insane. I'll just name up Jerry Seinfeld, Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Amy Schumer, Hugh Grant, James Marsden, as some guy named Jack Lalanne. I assume he maybe invented the Pop-Tart, perhaps. Max Greenfield, Bobby Moynihan, Christian Slater, Maria Bakalova. Like, this is like, wow. Peter Dinklage, John Hamm. This sounds wild. Apparently, it's coming out soon.
Okay.
Or well, this movie will never come out. That's the other option.
Well, I can't wait to have you on the podcast recapping the Pop-Tart movie.
Unfrosted.
What character should we do next here, Kelly? I'll throw it to you. Who do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about my guy, Regé Jean Page.
Okay.
I'm definitely a Bridgerton girly. I'm more of a Bridgerton season 2 girly, and he was, of course, the star in season 1. But I thoroughly enjoyed him in this movie as Zenk Yendar, a paladin, who pretty much was in charge of, you know, bringing our group back together on the quest and just making sure that they can make it out alive.
Yeah, I didn't, I'm not familiar with this man. I'm not a Bridgerton girly, unfortunately.
you should be.
this is another one that I really have nothing to say on. Maybe I'm the hater here. What do you think of Zeke Tommy or whatever his name is?
I am part of the Bridgerton Brigade, as we like to call ourselves. And I thought he was great. I think this is the right amount of a paladin. Paladin is such a rough class because a lot of times, nothing wrong with this if you play your paladin this way.
If you're a paladin and you're listening, go cry about it.
No, but they are very religious characters usually that are very, it is my destiny and I must follow this path and never do any harm. It is very heroic. It is very much here. And I think there's a place for that, but I think it can at times be a lot for other players. And so I like that they kind of play that up here. I am a little over the characters that don't get humor, where it's like someone says something and it's like the Drax effect was, and I'm glad we didn't do a ton of it there. But it worked for me in the end. If we think of him as an NPC, like when he walks in the straight line and they're like, is he going to turn? And it's like he walks over the rock, feels very NPC like. We get him in the big like side mission to get an item in the Underdark. We see some intelligent devourers, which are just like are terrifying. If like in the actual, if you ever see one in an actual D&D battle, run away. They will eat your brain, Michael. They will kill you.
Yeah, so was that where they get the helmet?
Yes, that is where they get the helm, and they fight the very large dragon.
The thick
dragon.
I hated the helmet. Cut the helmet out of this movie. This is my biggest gripe. So stupid. This was like, it was pointless. And I guess like, even now I'm trying to like service a point of it, and I guess it was to, you know, what's his name, Simon? I guess it was like to show his growth or whatever, but like it was boring and I didn't care.
Yeah.
He needed a Luke Skywalker moment. He had to like punch himself in the face. That's literally all I could think of when he was talking to himself.
Yeah. I think this entire side thing, I agree with you, could have been cut. I think they worried that if they didn't include enough D&D stuff, specifically a dragon, since it's called Dungeons and Dragons, I think they were so worried about the criticism they were going to get. And so like, how can we fit this in here? Let's throw in the side quest real quick. It'll make sense. And I felt that with this movie a lot of like, they threw things in for the sake of just getting it in. Like the intelligent devourers, to a point, it was like, we got to get this classic monster in because people will be upset if we don't put them into this.
Okay. Yeah. I guess I understand that because I actually I came into this movie, I was on Dungeons and Dragon watch. If there was not a dungeon or a dragon in this movie, I was going to rip this movie to shreds. And luckily they went into a dungeon and fought a dragon. So I'll let it pass on that respect.
And this dragon is from the lore. There's tons. D&D has lore and characters and like, any that they mentioned in the movie are like have deep history. You know, Saz Tam, they mentioned as the Red Wizard, evil person, huge thing. In ours, we call him this in one of my D&D games. We're actually dealing with Thay and the Red Wizard, so this was very funny to me. And we have decided to call Saz Tam the Sassy Tam to mock him. So that's all I could think about the entire time. But
stick it to him.
Yeah, really, I bet it really bothers him. He's sitting in his lich fortress with all his undead, and he's really thinking about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think that's like, it was a reference from the D&D, this very fat dragon, because people were wondering, I've seen on the internet, like, why is he fat? That's how he was drawn originally, you know? He likes to eat.
I would love someone to edit the dragon to like Lizzo's tempo. That would be... Mm. Just a 10 out of 10 edit for me. Maybe I'll do it.
Do it.
Do it. You heard it here first. But yeah, the Paladin, I think, was just the right amount. There was a part of me that was annoyed that he didn't continue with them, but I think it made sense. It works. If he's in a future movie, maybe they expand on the character. But I was okay with his experience there. Anything else to be said about our Paladin friend?
Nope. Yeah. We said everything there is to say.
Make him James Bond. Like, please. I know he's fighting for his life to be James Bond, this man. And, like, I'm fully on the train. Like, cast him. I'll be sitting in that theater.
Yeah, just take Aaron Taylor Johnson out of this equation. I'm happy.
Yes. Another milquetoast man.
I was thinking maybe we could get Ansel Elgort for...
Oh, no. Thank God he's not British.
Yeah. Well, let's move on. Who do we want next? Do you want our druid, our sorcerer, or our bad wizard? Those are your three left.
Two of my favorites are left. So
the bad wizard, of course, is your
of course. Let's talk about the bad wizard. She's awesome. She's so cool.
I
thought it was a disservice how much I think Daisy Head was the actress. I thought she did amazing. The outer body scream that she did at one point because of the fly, I was like, "Ugh, you are terrifying! I hate everything about you."
Yeah. No, she just this is like the perfect she's like the Palpatine almost. Like, she's kind of pulling the strings the whole time, and I love when Hugh Grant is finally running off with the treasure. And she's like, "Get out of my city," or whatever she says. I was like, yeah, this is your place. And I don't know. I love all this Red Wizard stuff, from like, how she brings things down from the sky and turns everyone undead. Like, it's just so visually cool and fun. So this was great. And then the ultimate final fight scene with her, where they're like all using their powers against her, and like, I could gush about her and like every scene that she's in, really. So.
She really killed it. And I feel like the design of her whole, like, the robe changing colors based on where she was and who was around. And then kind of at the end when she, like, morphed into, like, the very undead-looking sorceress. Oh, my gosh. Amazing. And, yeah, I think she really carried in any scenes where we needed a little bit of a serious tone. I feel like she did a really good job.
Yeah, and we got, like, some of the best magic from her. You got Time Stop and a couple other things at the end. We got to see Concentration, which I really appreciated with her. I one of my favorite scenes with her was her chasing down the Doric in the wild shape.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, and with this, I will say, one of the things I was kind of impressed with the movie is the cinematography. They took risk. Multiple times they, like, did cool visual things to help enhance, like, the whole mirror scene. I thought was genius with the cinematography of, like, messing with your plane of what's right side up kind of stuff. Thought she did an incredible job as our antagonist. I would have liked more. I think this is the one thing, is, like I said, it was a little beefy with the dragon, with all these other things. And so by the time of this end battle, it really felt like we're just phoning it in with the battle. And I would have liked to see a more epic Red Wizard battle. Like, the idea that she didn't get her undead army because they just put coins outside was a little, again, like I said in the beginning, DD always has ridiculous ways of solving the mission. But the idea that, like, she didn't plan for, like, people to try to leave.
I actually, at that point, when they're on the boat and they see, like, the Colosseum get engulfed or whatever happened there, I thought the movie was over. I thought it was a cliffhanger, and I was like, ooh, this is the next movie. And now they're like, nah, let's just go kick her ass.
See, that would have been better. So bold. Yeah. Oh my god, like Dune.
I actually like that, being like, oh man, because they achieved one mission, which was getting the daughter back. And then being like, oops, I think we forgot. Like, almost like a, oops, we forgot something, as there's this red powder on the car.
That's a big oops, right? Like, oops, yikes.
Like, oh, I guess we weren't listening when old Zank was talking.
Yeah. And then we get, like, one pun at the end, like, oh, I guess it will never be winter again. And then the movie goes out.
No, all good stuff here.
Well, let's move on, and I mentioned, let's move on to Doric, the tiefling druid played by Sophia Willis. I thought a great character. I think like my only complaint maybe a little bit more. I felt like she was a little like used when they needed her, and then otherwise was just kind of in the background when she wasn't. Like when it wasn't focused on her and doing something wild shapey, it was like, all right, let's forget about her in the background for a bit.
Yeah, I felt like her backstory was very Avatar. With them like cutting down all of the trees and everything. I was like, look at that, Pandora right here.
Yeah, this is my other favorite character. And if, I think it mainly just comes down to the power that she had. Like, I like the, I don't know, she's a shapeshifter or whatever, but like, there were so many cool chase sequences in this when she's like, she's a rat and then she turns into like a hawk. And like, it, like that stuff was like riveting. I thought like there were like some really cool stuff going on there. Again, the owlbear, I'm all about that. That's like the coolest thing. I want my own owlbear. Tommy, when we play D&D next, can you put an owlbear in the story that I can tame?
Listen. We'll
you're opening a can of worms.
It's
right
such
now.
A can.
Tommy's like, how like, much time you got?
You can see the fear in my eyes. I'm like, so an owlbear is just going to be part of your party. I once gave someone a blink dog and I instantly regretted it for the rest of the campaign. I was like, how can I get rid of this blink dog? yeah, I love this character. I love druids in general. I think they're very fun, and who doesn't want to be able to turn into an animal? Like, that's always been one of my favorite superpowers. Like I said, I think I would have wanted a little bit more with her. I felt at times, because there was so much going on, some of their like plots were lost. Like, she kind of had a romance with the sorcerer, but like they didn't really touch on it, but then kind of just enough to that it was there. They talked about how like she was adopted from a human family, and then like that was interesting to me, this idea that like she does not trust humans. I think could have been played a little bit more, but I'm nitpicking, and I really did enjoy the character. I think to me, like, her big shining was the maze. We could talk about a little bit here. I thought the maze, the battle was awesome. This was another one where they threw in tons of monsters, in classic D&D monsters, like the Mimic, the Gelatinous Cube, Displacer Beast. I love this. We also got our Easter egg of the, I assume, Michael, you would caught this one, of the 80s D&D cartoon. They had the group of adventurers that were next to them were the exact characters from the 80s cartoon.
You know, I did not know that's where it was from, but I saw the characters and they were so specific that I knew that it was a reference to something, but I did not know that this was from the freaking cartoon from the 80s. I'm a 90s kid, Tommy. I didn't watch this.
Oh, my bad.
Don't age him like this.
I'm so sorry. I will say what Paramount's doing that I think is so funny and very bold is they've now been releasing these commercials with the 80s cartoon cast. You should look them up. They are very funny. There's two I've seen, and the one was talking about what I was talking about with the wild shape, where it was them gathered up in the air asking the wizard robed guy, like, well, is that really how it works? And it was basically like, well, it works because that's what I say how it works. And you know what? Eric, you suck. Like, it's actually very funny. And I love that they're playing into that. I'm like, listen, does everything make sense? No, that's okay. Just enjoy the movie. Okay.
Yeah, just don't think too much. I think one of the guys in that party was also Tom Morello, if I'm not mistaken. Like, from Rage Against the Machine. But maybe I just fully made that up, which is possible.
Yeah. I would not know who that looks like, what he looks like. So, looks like Tommy's Googling, though.
He's
it
a
does
guy.
Say that he does appear as his D&D character, Timothy Stormhollow.
Nice.
He's in the movie somewhere. And there's probably tons of cameos. And like I said, there's tons of Easter eggs we are not covering. Like, almost every item has some lore about the god that it's belonged to. There was tons of symbols like that. We mentioned, I think, Michael, you mentioned the puzzle bridge. Again, very close. Like, that's D&D homage to the fact that you tell your players about this puzzle and then they completely ignore all the rules you give them, and instead of going for the bowl, they decide to go to the bathroom and then climb out a window and then talk to the hedge and get through the hedge. That's happened before in this session I've run with these two people here.
Listen, work smarter, not harder. Sometimes, like, you just don't want to solve a puzzle.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, I will say overall with this movie is it does really get that feeling of D&D, which is whatever plan you had, your players are probably going to do something that you didn't plan for. And I felt that from this movie. Mm-hmm. I think we have one other character. I'm hearing you already named two characters. You said you have two of your favorites. Michael, are you not a fan of Simon, played by Justice Smith?
He was fine. I actually
it was the helm. You hated the helm so much that that's what.
Well, again, actually, here's the thing. From the movies I've seen with him in it, kind of like Chris Pine, this might be my favorite role of his. I thought he did a really good job. I don't think that like I necessarily. It was kind of goofy, and I liked the fact that he was like, you know, he wasn't like this great sorcerer, right? You know, another funny part was like the smell of grass spell that he did. That was silly, but I think it was like a smart, because like for me, if he was like this great sorcerer, like the entire time I'd be like, well, there's got to be a spell to fix this, you know? And I feel like that was kind of like their way of like simplifying him a little bit, and also turned out to be like a pretty funny character. Not maybe he might be actually in my, maybe he is in my top three. I don't know. He's not horrible.
He's charming. He's very charming. You know, he's not that great at magic. Doesn't have a lot of confidence, but he's just out there trying his best.
Yeah, and I felt like he fit a role in the party, and I will say overall, the party had a good rhythm to it. It had a good, and having him be kind of the weaker, quote unquote, of that then gets some of the most powerful spells by the end. And I think they showed it well of like, how I took it is he's been leveling up. All their adventures is him leveling up this entire time, so he is powerful enough to attune to this item by the time that he does. His ancestor is a pretty prolific character from Forbidden Realms, so he's like a legit sorcerer that's renowned. So when his name, when people heard his last name, they got excited because it is has meaning there. Yeah, I think I'm with you of like he's fine. I liked his parts. I think I got a little sick of the unconfident sorcerer because it's a very easy trope, but. I did like that he's a wild magic sorcerer, Michael. That means that he just sporadically, in times of dire need, will sporadically do random magic. So how that plays in real D&D is you have a chart of like 100 different things that could happen. Like you shoot paint out of your hands and you roll a dice and this random magic thing happens to you. People like it for like the spontaneity of it all. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. Let's roll a dice.
I like that. Wild magic. I think I want to do that. That sounds fun. Sounds risky too, which I like.
Yes, I've seen it. I've seen all wild. There's different types of wild magic, and wild magic rogues are a thing. And a good friend of ours, Mike Bloom, plays a wild magic rogue in one of the campaigns I'm in with him. And he, I've seen it backfire where he has blinded his entire party using the wild magic chart. So.
I do have could we recast the Simon character as Nathan Fielder, and how would that work out? Because he's famously a magician, and
he is the Wizard of Loneliness. Yeah.
He's the Wizard of Loneliness. He also does do magic, and he's like a member at the Magic Castle and everything in LA. I just feel like he could play this character really well.
I think if I don't know what I would have done if, like, even as like a side character, Nathan Fielder was there in like a like pointy star hat in like the background of any of these scenes. I think this would be a top three movie of me for all time. That would be so funny.
Yeah, I signed the position. Get him in episode two.
Yeah.
Well, anything else about the movie you guys would like to talk about? I think overall we're all enjoyed it. I think the characters were very fun. I think there's, like I said, I think for the next one, do less. You've now explained the world. You've thrown a lot at us. Take your time with the next thing and focus in on one or two things, not like trying to get the whole kitchen sink in there.
Yeah, no helmets, none of that. I do want to talk about, I guess we kind of touched on it, but the scene where they bring people back to life and ask them questions. Was this funny to you guys? Did you guys like this scene?
I would have liked it so much more if it wasn't in the trailer. I think
I didn't see it in the trailer. I must have not watched that trailer. Oh. So
fair. I mean, things are different up here in Canada. We get different. We didn't get different stuff. So
yeah. Well, I heard someone else say that. So yeah, I don't know.
I did see it as well. But I will say it worked for me because I only saw that they did it once. So I didn't think they were going to do a whole thing where they asked multiple dead bodies. That's what caught me by surprise. But it worked for me. Did it need to be the stinger of like the dead body still there? That I felt like it wasn't funny enough to justify being brought up back again at the end. But I thought it was amusing at least.
Yeah. The better joke to come back was the bird when Hugh Grant is on trial there and he tries to pull the same stick and runs into the brick wall. So that was the better callback.
I think
that made me laugh. The Jonathan made me laugh the most. And like that, the woman who was Jonathan, her scream cracked me up. And the idea that like, I thought about this for way too long, Michael, because, and Kelly, it almost made it seem like this happens a lot. Where people take, like, it doesn't feel like this was a one-time thing. And then, you know, we see they eventually build a break. But I almost feel like this happens on a regular basis. That's why Jonathan's always late.
Oh. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like Jonathan just, he's just like fly by the seat of his pants kind of guy.
So I've got a comment that's not necessarily about the movie, but my experience watching it. About halfway through, actually, it was actually probably in the third act, the movie shut off. Went black. The sound continued to play, but it was, and then somebody went and turned it off real quick. They had to reset it. They're like, it's going to take like 5 minutes, but it'll come back and we'll rewind it. And I was like, I went to the bathroom. I got a popcorn refill. It was like, now every movie needs an intermission. It was awesome.
It didn't take you off the flow of the movie. You didn't weren't like, oh man, where was I? I mean,
again, like typically in the third act, you know, I'm starting getting to the point. I go to the bathroom. You know, I'm low on the popcorn. So like, no, it's a good like. I was able to walk away, rejuvenate, come back, and finish the movie strong. I thought it was always do this. Always do this. This is the best.
I love
especially
that.
Our Marvel movies. Sorry. Go ahead, Kelly.
No. I have a very small bladder, so I agree. Like, I think we need an intermission. Like, I know James Cameron, when Avatar The Way of Water came out, like, first of all, I was concerned because, like, water is in the title. I was like, I'm going to have to go to the bathroom this whole movie. And then he said, like, oh, don't worry if you go to the bathroom because you can just, whatever you miss, when you come see it a second time, you can catch it. And I didn't like that. And I love James Cameron, but I was like, James, just put an intermission in your movie. JC, come on.
But also, like, bold of him to call his shot, like, oh, you'll want to watch this multiple times.
Yeah.
And make his entire movie about water, which is going to make you pee because it's literally just running water the entire movie. It was all calculated. So he just wants to beat that record again. Have the most money made.
It worked.
I know.
It's a shocking thing.
The time didn't bother you guys because I was reading on the internet that some people thought that 2 hours was too long for this movie.
Cut out the helmet stuff. I'm happy. And again, that like I feel like there was an obvious side plot that I didn't appreciate, and you take it out, it's like half an hour shorter, and that would have been great for me. So yeah, I think it was a little long, and it was because some of the stuff wasn't necessarily necessary.
Yeah, tight 90 minutes for a comedy, I think, is the way to go.
Yeah, and I think they could have done it in this as well. I think cutting the helm would have been an easy, or even just making it slightly less time, because like I do like the paladin stuff there, but we could do more. But yeah, that's our movie, but that's not it for us because now it's time to get serious.
Oh no!
I have a little game. I sound like I'm gonna try to. I have a little game here.
Do you want to play a game? Like, okay, Tommy.
Well, you see, both of you have some working knowledge of D&D, but I don't know how much working knowledge. So what I have is we have five questions. We'll do four, and then if we need a tiebreaker, and we'll rotate back and forth. I have a question for you, and you and four. Answers, and you have to tell me the one thing that isn't real. I made it up.
I love this. So, this is fun.
Oh boy.
We have we'll do 1 through 5 in that you can pick 1 through 5. That way it's not, you don't get a question because it happens to be first in my thing. So let's start with our guest, Kelly. Pick a question 1 through 5. Pick a question 1 through 5.
I'm going to go with number 2.
Okay.
Wrong choice.
And I we'll see if this works out. I do have a little like item for you guys. You can at one point throughout the whole quiz ask me to elaborate on one of the things. So I would have to explain it. If it's something that's real, I may try to fool you into thinking it's fake, or vice versa.
We're rolling like for elaboration.
Yeah, it doesn't actually sound like a helpful item, but it's
like it might help you, or you might just get the question wrong.
Yeah. Well, you might give me like stumbling where it's like I get caught with the one that I didn't think you were gonna ask, and then I'm like, makes you fly.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, question 2. There's a lot of locations in this movie. And there's a lot of locations in the Forbidden Realm itself. Faerun is the name of the land. What is not a location in the Forbidden Realm? Glarendar, Waterdeep, Mount Dragon Falls, and Moonshay Isles.
Oh my god. Okay, I know Waterdeep was definitely one.
That sounds so stupid. that is such a stupid name.
Where are you from? Waterdeep.
Waterdeep.
Yeah, this has got deep water. I have my guess. I'm interested to see what Kelly says.
What was the third one you said?
The third one was Mount Dragon Falls.
I think that one's fake.
Me too. Good choice.
That is fake.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Tommy, you had a tell. I caught you.
You
scratched your nose when you said it.
Oh. I didn't even notice that.
Careful. Turn on your hands next time.
Okay. That's 1 point to Kelly. Michael, it is your turn. 1, 3, 4, or 5.
Definitely going to go 4.
4, okay. Hey, in this movie, there's a lot of spells in this movie. What is not an actual spell in D&D? We have Bigby's Hand. We have Lemon's Tiny Hut. We have Bachmore's Fire Whip. And we have Dalmore's Lightning Lance.
Oh, Lord. I'm going to need you to read these to me again.
No worries. Bigby's Hand, Layman's Tiny Hut, Bachmore's Fire Whip, Dalamore's Lightning Lance.
This is tough. Can you do me a favor, Tommy?
Yes.
I'm going to roll for elaboration. And I just rolled a 20.
Oh, nice. Nat 20.
Wow.
Which one do I want? Well, how about the lemon one? What was it?
Yeah. Lemon's Tiny Hut. So what this is a spell. I can't remember off the top of my head what level. I think it's level, or second level, a third level spell.
And how convenient that you don't remember.
I don't know them off any of the four. I wouldn't be able to tell you that. But it is a spell usually performed by a bard, but basically it creates a safe place for you to rest, long rest, without worrying about like just camping out in the open. It kind of keeps you hidden inside of this magical hut that you can produce.
That is so stupid. That's a dumb spell. It's not cool at all. I'm going to go. There's two that sound very familiar, or like that sound similar, which is making me think that one might not be true. The Fire Whip and Lightning Lance. Those, I feel like, one might be built off the other one. And since the last one was the third one, I'm going to go with Lightning Lance.
Michael, you are incorrect.
No! Is it Fire Whip?
Kelly, would you like to steal? I don't know if we should do stealing. I'm just improvising this. We'll see if you got one.
I feel like the tiny head is fake.
Tiny Hut is real.
Oh.
The fake one is Bakumor's fire whip. You were on the right track, Michael. I was building off the idea that like it's one or the other kind of thing. But yeah, the Tiny Hut is real. A lot of D&D, a lot of the original creators named a lot of spells after themselves. So a pretty famous one is Big B's hand, which I think we see in the movie as the giant hand that she creates at the end, I believe was Big B's hand.
I've definitely used that one before, like in D&D. I like remember using that spell.
Yeah. So no points, but that was a tough one. It is now Kelly's turn. You are up with 1 point.
Okay. Well, I don't want to screw this up. I'm going to do number 3.
Okay. Which of these is not an item, a magical item in D&D? We have the Wand of Smiles.
Okay.
We have the Chamber Pot of Travel. We have the Deck of Many Things. And we have the Ghost Lantern.
Okay, I know the Deck of Many Things exists because of Roll for Sandwich on TikTok. The Ghost Lantern. I'm like, is Tommy trying to trick me because he knows I love spooky things? What was the first one was?
The first one was the Wand of Smiles.
It sounds so fake. It must be real. I don't know. And the Chamber Pot of Travel?
This is to remind you, you do have your one explanation.
No, it's okay. I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to say, I'm trying to think of what these could all do. And I'm like, okay, the Ghost Lantern, I can see that lighting something and you see ghosts. Deck of Many Things, I feel like, unless that's like not an item. I guess, is that an item in a game? I don't know. Ah, okay. I'm going to pick the wand.
The Wand of Smiles is real.
Damn.
It's such a dumb name. I know I'm hating on all these D&D things.
you cast it on someone, they must do a saving throw to see if they fall to the charm, and it causes you to smile, I believe, for like 5 minutes.
Oh my god, that sucks.
Wow.
Michael, do you have a guess?
Real quick, read them again. What are the other three?
So yeah, the Wand of Smiles, the Chamber Pot of Travel, Deck of Many Things, and the Ghost Lantern.
Chamber Pot of Travels. That's fake.
That is fake.
Let's go.
Oh, I knew it. I shouldn't have given you my explanation.
Yeah,
I watch Roll for Sandwich too, though. So
okay, fair. Yeah. I was like, it's not good podcasting if I just sit here silently.
No, I like the explanation. The Chamber Pot of Travel. It was kind of based on, I saw a gourd of travel, which was it could create teleport you this magic gourd. So you know, why couldn't there be a chamber pot that caused you to travel? But yes, the Ghost Lantern, real thing, and yes, the Deck of Many Things, a pretty classic one that can give you great riches or could really screw you up depending on what card you pick out of the deck. That is 3. We are at still, or no, we're at 1-1. We have 2 left, 1 or 5. Michael.
1.
Okay. The baddies in this movie were the Red Wizards of Thay. What is not, we got some names, you know, we got Saz Tam, we got Sophina. What is not one of the names of the many Red Wizards of Thay?
Oh, Lord.
and it's not going to help because I'm also going to butcher them. I'll also post in the chat for us here. So there you go.
I feel like I needed this the whole time, actually.
Yeah, I should have been doing that from the beginning.
Okay.
For us, it is Rath Modar, Belsharun, Edwin Audrasin, and Davrin Kane.
Rath Modar.
Rath Modar is real.
Dang it.
Oh my god.
This is a tough one. This is a really, because they're all just random names.
It's just basically random names.
Yeah. Am I trying to steal?
Steal
yes,
it.
You can try to steal this.
Okay, I'm gonna guess Davern Kane.
That is correct. Davern Kane is not real.
Okay, let's see.
I picked completely randomly.
So, I mean, that was my strategy too.
I mean,
33% chance.
Clearly, Vel's Sharoon is clearly a red wizard guy.
Oh,
I was like, Edwin, I don't know. That sounds like a big nerd. I bet that's real.
Big nerd. All
right. I believe that it's 2-1 at that point. I think that does give Kelly the win, but we will do the last one anyways. You guys can work together on this. So, you know, we talk about there's different classes in D&D. There was Barbarian. We saw Rogue. Well, you know, and you both know this to some degree, there are subclasses. So each class has specific features and spells that are unique to a specific theme. Like, you know, like we were talking about with the Sorcerer, with the Wild Magic Sorcerer is a specific subclass of the Sorcerer. What is not a subclass that exists in D&D? So one of these is made up. We have the Phantom Rogue. We have the Swarm Keeper Ranger. We have the Graviturgy Magic Wizard. And we have the Smoke Domain Cleric.
Dang.
The third one, the name is so off the wall. It has to be real.
But maybe he did that on purpose. That was also what I was thinking. Smoke Domain also seems very specific. Like, that just seems like one certain thing. Like, I don't know. I feel like the subclass is a little more broad than that, but maybe I'm wrong.
I think that's a good guess. But then
it's definitely one of those two, and I'll let you pick.
Let's go Smoke Domain.
Smoke Domain is fake.
Let's go.
Great job, Michael.
That being said, it always worked not in your favor that you don't know other domains, because cleric, a lot of them are like that. It's like life, light domain and peace domain and things like that. But yes, Phantom Rogue is a real thing. They are like basically you can turn into a ghost, like go through and stab people. Swarm Keeper Rangers keep like, it's like you basically have like an insect swarm that you just can send at people.
Yeah, I love
that. Graviturgy is the you have control of gravity and different spells like that can mess with people on that level. And then Smoke Domain is made up, but if you asked, I was going to pitch it as you can control smoke both in hiding yourself but also create smoke aberrations, like little smoke humanoids that could fight for you. Was going to be my pitch. But great job, Kelly. You have won the D&D off. Real close there for a minute.
I feel like if I lost Tommy, would you be embarrassed? Because for anyone who doesn't know, Tommy taught me how to DM for Dungeons & Dragons.
Listen, I had all the faith in the world. I know how big of a D&D nerd Michael is, but I had all the faith that you could out D&D knowledge him.
I mean, you basically picked the best person to go against to win the stakes. Well, cool guys, this was so much fun. Tommy, thanks for the game. Kelly, thanks for coming on here. Always a blast when we can sit down and chat with you. Do you want to tell people where they can find you online and everything you're up to?
Yeah, for sure. I'm not up to too much. I do have a podcast called Nathan for Us Podcast. You can follow us at Nathan for Us Pod. But we're kind of on hiatus right now. We're waiting for Nathan Fielder's show, The Rehearsal, to return for season 2, or his new show, which should be coming out anytime now, called The Curse, to come out. And in the interim, at some point, we will finish Nathan for You. But my co-host and I have been at a wedding for a whole week, and before that I've just been very busy, so that's what I'm up to.
What about what The Curse is? This I thought I heard, is this scripted?
Yes, this is a scripted TV show starring Nathan Fielder and Emma Stone, and it's produced by the Safdie brothers.
That's the right pedigree I needed for something like this.
Yes, I think it's going to be amazing. I think it's going to be on Showtime, and they should be finished it by now. I think they're working on the score in like November, so We don't have a release date, but anytime now it should be coming out. I also have on TikTok and Instagram at Kelly W, like the word double, the word U. Sometimes I post about running, mostly about running. Sometimes about books.
Yeah, you run to beer.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what I feel like. I'm down to that's how you get me into running, I guess.
Yeah, come to Toronto.
Or like run to tacos. You know, I need like a incentive here.
Have you ever tried? Did you only drink the beers after, or is it ever you drink the beer first, then you go run?
So there's an event called the Beer Mile, which not to like, not to brag, but I am the reigning champion of the Beer Mile for my run club. But yeah, you drink a beer and then you run a lap of a track and you do that four times. So you drink four beers and you run a mile and it is pretty awful.
Yeah, I feel like my tummy would be pretty upset.
Yeah, I hate this.
Yeah, if you throw up, you have to run an extra lap.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Michael, what would you rather do? Drink a beer every mile or get asked D&D questions every mile?
It's tough. I feel like such a loser when I don't know D&D things. So that's tough.
Yeah, and each table has like a whole crowd of D&D nerds that are going to laugh every time you get it wrong.
I'm like, okay, I'm going for the beer.
Ah, nerd.
They're getting picked on by the D&D kids. What the hell's happening?
It's like nerds in like a loving way.
Yeah.
If I've referred to anyone as a nerd today, it's like in a loving way.
We're
except
all
for
nerds,
Ansel Elgort,
right?
Who I actively despise.
Who knew this was going to be our anti-Ansel podcast?
Yeah. Tommy, anything? What's going on? You know, where can people find you?
Gosh, golly gee, Willikers.
You always right start like this.
right here. Where else would you want to find me? But right here, baby, at Stark Wars. I don't know. Like, I DM. If you ever want me to DM for you, you can message. I don't know. I guess I will. Do that. I don't really tweet, but I have a Twitter, Tommy's Tidbits, and I'm just here. I'm just living right now. I don't have much other than this podcast. I've been watching Dropout TV. Really like them. If you haven't watched Game Changers, probably, you know, Rick Devins was recently on it. If you guys have been seeing him post about it, but because they did a Survivor themed game, but it's basically a game. I'm turning this into a right because I have nothing going on, Michael. I'm turning this into a recommendation from me.
It's okay.
I had
nothing to recommend, so I skipped over that.
each episode is a different game, so it's like one episode would be Simon Says, the next episode is Escape the Room. And it's an escape room theme. So it's very fun. They do a really good job over there. And if you have a little bit of money to pay for the subscription, I think you can also watch them on YouTube or TikTok, but it's a good show.
There you go. All right. Well, with that being said, a lot of Star Wars announcements recently. Have to touch on this real quickly today. I'm going to be on Khalil's podcast, Comic Boys, tomorrow talking about it. So check that out.
All right, Michael, tell me four new headlines from the Star Wars thing, one of which isn't real, and I had to guess what the
Hold on. Actually, this is fun. So you're not aware.
No, I'm vague. I have vague knowings, but not I know there's movies that are being announced.
Okay, well, I'm going to do this.
TBD if they'll ever get made, but
yeah, that's always the big question.
It's always nice when they get announced.
Okay, I'm going to lay them out. There's four movies announced. One is it's a prequel movie. It goes back even before the Old Republic, and it's titled. Actually, it's not titled. I don't know why I'm saying that. the era is titled Dawn of the Jedi. So, okay. That's one. So keep that in mind. The next one is going further back into the future, past The Rise of Skywalker, starring Daisy Ridley. It is the movie about rebuilding the Jedi Council. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Would she come back, though? I thought she was done.
I know. I think I know. I already have heard of some of this, so I won't spoil it for you, Tommy.
Too bad. Okay. And... The next one, very interesting. I loved that they finally gave us some clarification on Taika Waititi's movie, which is an Old Republic movie. And there seems to be talk of Wookiee Jedis involved, so that's going to be interesting. And then the last one is directed by Dave Filoni, and it is supposed to close up the Mando universe with Boba Fett, Ahsoka, and Mando. So which one is fake?
Okay. So yeah, I have not heard these. I just heard there was three movies. I did not hear what they were about. Mm-hmm. Off the top of my head, thinking it out, right? Mm-hmm. First one, you said there was a title, then there wasn't a title. Now, I don't know if you did that on accident or if you did it on purpose to throw me off or vice versa, or it was not to throw me off and you were trying to come up with it on the top of your head.
I'll just say, I feel like I struggled with all these because I didn't have anything written down. Speaking off the cuff.
So the first one's got me a little sketch. The Taika is the Wookiee thing is actually throwing me off because we just got Wookiee Jedi. So like, would they do? Is it like more on that? Is it less there? So that's more of like, it was a very specific detail that I feel like the other ones didn't get. I guess they got a little specific. And then the last one's probably the most confident that it's real because like Dave Filoni can't get enough of the Mandalorian world, so of course he'd make a movie about it because we just gonna live in. They just need to validate clones and why that plot made sense in The Last Jedi. But anyways, I think I'm gonna go with one. I think you were trying to. They're not gonna do past Star Wars stuff.
You are incorrect. That is a real movie. They're going all the way back. The origins of the Jedi. They're gonna talk.
See, that's probably the most. I've always wanted to like have a movie of the OG, like old men Jedi, but like probably young men because they probably weren't old when they started the Jedi.
Do you want me to tell you the fake one, Kelly? Was you it? Know which one the fake one is?
Well, I feel like it's the Taika Waititi one.
Yeah,
because I saw the Daisy Ridley news and I saw the Filoni news. Yeah. She's coming back.
Yeah.
I'm happy for her. I feel like those movies, like, I don't know, everyone in them I would like to see get another shot, especially John Boyega.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. If he's not a Jedi in this, I'm pissed.
I feel like the cast really got done dirty by those movies of, like, they were hyped up to be like, look at Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill, how Star Wars really developed their careers. Not to say it didn't help them, but I do hope that she has a better experience with this batch because I feel like she got some backlash. I feel like for the movies,
unwarranted.
Yeah, like I feel like she was getting blamed for Rey and Ben kissing, and it was like, how dare they? And it's like she literally just got the plot. I don't think she wrote that.
No, the Rey Skywalker wrote it all. No, the Wookiee Jedi thing is actually a news tidbit, but it's about the Acolyte show.
Oh,
not the Taika Waititi movie, which we get no clarification on, which is super weird. I don't know why they announce these movies and then they come back 2 years later and announce a whole new set of movies with no clarifications on what they announced last time. So Star Wars is so weird. You could bet that none of these movies are going to happen and I wouldn't be shocked. So
do you think they forget when it's time to announce stuff and they're like, oh shoot, like whatever's on the desk, just pick it up. We're going to announce that. Cause yeah, there's been like multiple TV shows that I feel like they announced that like, I haven't heard anything about, and that was like years ago.
Yeah, there's some coming up though. We got Skeleton Crew, Acolyte,
Ahsoka.
So.
Wasn't there supposed to be one about the fighters, the pilots?
The Rogue Squadron one. I think that one's canned. Yeah, they've even said that. So.
Yeah, I feel like they basically announced it because that was what's her name, right?
Yeah, Patty Jenkins.
Yeah.
So, there you go. All right, guys, we've dragged this podcast on long enough. This is one of our longest podcasts in a while, so thank you guys for doing this. I'd like to remind you guys to rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify, preferably 5 stars. Also, please subscribe because we're going to be here every single week, and sometimes we have bonus coverage like this, and if you subscribe, it'll automatically download to your phone. It's super convenient. You'll get a notification. Like, it literally helps us just as much as it helps you. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Star Wars Pod. And we also have a little Discord community going on. So if that's something you're interested in, you can hit us up and we will get you in there. But that is all we got for you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And we will see you next time.
Bye. Bye. Bye.